You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
The scripture reading today is in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. Let us therefore fear lest the promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain place the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest. Seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached enter not in because of unbelief. Again he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today after so long a time, as it is said, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would not he not afterward have spoken of another day. There remaineth therefore a rest for the people of God. For he that has entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Father God, we just ask for your blessing on this, the reading of your holy word. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake. Amen.
Right. Well, we've got lots of tech up here today. We'll put everything in the right place. Well, Sepp and I were remarking how it's great to have seasons, and you look out the window and you see the leaves have gone, but nonetheless there's still some life there. There's a few birds still there, and we were listening to some commentators on News 9. They were saying about how it's a good idea to feed these birds and keep them healthy and look after them. They don't all disappear. Some of them remain. And we are also traveling on Saturday, and we're remarking how pretty it can be in the winter when you see this frost on the trees, and the mist was there. It was a little bit dark, but nonetheless quite pretty, quite a pretty sight as we traveled from home into Norman. Very pretty indeed. And so it also helps you to appreciate the spring even more. You look forward to the change of the seasons, and we're beginning to look forward, I think, to the spring, which would be nice. Let us pray. Our God and Father, we thank thee for this time we have to open the scriptures. And we thank thee for what we've learnt already. We ask for your spirit to be upon us and teach us all things. And in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, this is the first time we're going to be using this projection method, which is, I think, quite cool. So when I want to show you some things on my programs or whatever I can, which would be quite nice, I think, be useful. So here we have the first verse, which obviously is very significant. Bereshit bara Elohim et hashamayim va et ha-aretz. And that means exactly as you have it in your King James Bible: in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And we've seen some interesting things about this verse. The numerology of it is quite interesting, the gematria, when you look at the number of words, seven, and then you look at the heavens and you see that it does not have Aleph on it, makes us wonder then what has happened to the heavens. And as we're going to appreciate as we go further into our study, you'll find that there's a lot of issues to do with the heavens. Coming down here, we have seen this before. This book of the generations of Jesus Christ in Matthew 1:1 is the 14th of these generations. 11 are found in the book of Genesis. And the beginning of the 11 generations is in chapter 2, verse 4. And that gives you the explanation for why it is that the Genesis account, at least especially of day 6, is recapitulated in chapter 2. So the very structure of Genesis explains itself as you give it the respect that I think you need to. This Hebrew word is the word yom, and it literally just means day, but we have already found that day can be in reference to a part of 24 hours, could be 12 hours or less, it could be 24 hours, and it can even be longer, a longer period of time. So the word yom does service for all sorts of time periods. That's pretty clear. No one's going to argue with that. And if you go through this word day, especially in Genesis 1, you'll find these occurrences. Genesis 1:5, and God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. It's interesting, it goes evening then morning. We want to always start with the morning and then go to the evening. Interesting, in the Bible it begins with evening and then the morning. But one thing is clear, that the first day you'd have to say the earth is already there. The earth is already present. And it's quite a shocking revelation that that is the case. Because it means, therefore, you have to agree that there was a creative act before day one. You see the point that I'm making, right? And this, of course, is explained by simply reading and believing the very first verse. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. At some time in the past, we don't know how far past, but we know that the judgment of Genesis 1:2 is talked about as the heavens that be of old. How old? We don't know, but the Bible describes it as old. And so here on the first day, you have light and you have darkness. God called the light day and the darkness he called night. So it comes about after this judgment, all right, there is this watery judgment that comes on the original earth. And no doubt from the stories that we read in Isaiah and also in Ezekiel and also in Job, we read about this great event that occurred within the heavenly realm of a rebellion. And this rebellion spread from the heavens to the earth. And the earth then was involved with this great judgment. Okay, so there's a watery judgment. Now, we now have to, in some way, explain how it is that light was produced. Light came, right? Well, if there was an original creation in the heavens, it should be no surprise that there would be stars and other parts of the heavenly realm that was originally created. And then onto the earth, when the judgment, the watery judgment occurred, it's very conceivable that there was some kind of watery layer, maybe some sort of mist. In fact, in Genesis, it talks about the fact that rain was not apparent at the beginning. Rain was something that developed later. Before then, there was a mist. And it could be, and just as I was giving that introductory remark about traveling through the road towards Norman on a very misty morning, it's quite dark and there's still light there, there's still light apparent, but in an extreme mist, you could imagine it would be dark. So there could be this event that occurred just after the judgment that God would then allow light to come through. Let there be light, and there was light. And I pointed this out last time, that you get this idea of ex nihilo, okay, which is meaning out of nothing. So out of nothing, yes, there certainly is God's creative act, that he, out of nothing, he just speaks things into being, and where there was nothing at all, when I say nothing, I mean nothing, not anything, then something comes through God's creative act, out of nothing. But then there's another kind of creative act that God can do, and that is a reformation, right? There's a reformation that God can be involved with. And indeed, you can find that to be the case. For example, with the seas, the waters. The waters then would be gathered into one place and the land becomes apparent. But the land was already there. It was just covered. And then the land can be brought forward. Okay, so that sort of thing happens. And so as you go through here, you find the word day. What is a day? Is it 24 hours? Is it part of a day? Or is it longer? And what we have been looking at is this idea that the word day can indeed mean something longer than simply 24 hours. And some of these passages we'll look at further. But before we do, just looking at the structure of this thing. If you look at the Genesis account, you've got day one, and you see darkness and light. This comes directly out of the Companion Bible, by the way. And notice if you look at the structure, darkness, light, that's A, and then the corresponding A, day and night, sun and moon, and then the B's, the waters, the division between them, and then the other B, waters, life from them, that's a day five, and then the C's, you got earth, fruit from it, and then that's day three, and then the corresponding C, earth, life from it, that's the day six. Now, what becomes very interesting to me is day six. Day six opens up a new vista. Because as I've mentioned, in Genesis chapter 2, you get this recapitulation of the events that went on in day six. And day six has a lot of stuff. There is the creation of these animals and the naming of them, the garden that was set by the Lord. The man was created, male and female created he them. He did all these things. Remember that Adam named the animals. He did all these things. And then what happens is he is put to sleep. Interesting. I wonder what sort of anesthetic was used. Have you ever been under general anesthetic? General anesthetic is the wildest thing that ever you could be involved with. I had gallstones. And it's part of the genetics of my mother's side. If you go back on their side, it seems like just about everybody has a problem with their gallbladder. And so I did as well. And so finally what happened was I had to go to the hospital under an emergency because it was terribly inflamed. And I had the, I don't know if we still got the stone. Honestly, the surgeon was so amazed when he got the stone out of the gallbladder. He said, here, you better take this. And he put it in a thing. And I've got it in a vial. And this thing is massive. You know, if someone took that out and threw it at you and hit you in the head, it'd probably knock you out. It's so big. It's a huge thing. So they did this laparoscopic surgery. All right, so to do that, you have to go under completely. General anesthetic. So I remember the event. I just remember the event of going under, and I remember the event of waking up. Thank God for that. But in between, lost time, man. Lost. And the guy that was the anesthetist comes up to me, and he says, okay, Wayne, just count to 10. You won't make it to 10, but just count to 10. Okay. And I could see him putting this stuff into the tube, which finally led into the drip that went into my side. And he put it in there, and I thought, there's nothing going on here. There's nothing going on here. And then, bang! It was like a bolt out of nowhere, man. I just, bang, gone. Literally, it was like that. Just lights out. Zip, gone. And the next thing, there was a nurse saying, Wayne, wake up, slapping me on the head. Wayne, it's all done, you know, it's all done. And I don't know what really went on here with Adam, but something happened to him. He was put out, and then from his side, there was created this woman. And it's a very interesting thing, because this is... In Genesis 2:23, now you get the reaction of Adam. And as I pointed out last time, where it says this is now, this is something that's quite significant. Because, you see, after all of these events that went on, and he's seeing all these animals, there's no helpmeet for him there, right? There's nothing there. But now, after all this time, now, this is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Very, very interesting way in which this is written. We'll come back to this verse to look at the word for woman here. The word for man, the word for woman. Very interesting. But for now, the only thing I want you to see is this is now bone of my bones. And if you go through the scriptures and you look for this word, pa'am, you'll find that it has this context. I'll take this one here. In the case of Leah, for example, that she is trying to win the love of Jacob, and so she has these children, and basically it says here in Genesis 29:34, and she conceived again and bare a son, and said, now this time, after all this time, now my husband be joined unto me, because I have borne him three sons. See? Well, that's born three sons, that's after some time, man. That's not 3 days. And it's not without some pain. There's a lot of stuff that went on there after all this. So, when it comes to the day six, yes, there was an evening and a morning. It's bracketed. But it seems best to conclude that that time is not 24 hours. It's much more reasonable, suppose, that there's a longer time. Is this proof that it's more than 24 hours? No. You could argue and say, well, Adam was a superman. Right? He was a superman then. His brain was clear. He could do all these things. Yeah, you could argue like that. But if you look at Jesus, who also was without sin, perfect, and you saw him as the carpenter's son working with his father, there's no indication in there that he was the super carpenter, you know, in that sense. So you'd have to assume all sorts of things about Adam and how he could work at some super speed to make sense of that. Now, what I'm showing you here is something interesting which comes up from this Bible program of mine, which is looking at how we can find out information. See, if you look at this, this is the Hebrew word, pa'am. And you'll notice down here, right down the bottom here, you've got now at length. And then it gives you basically the same verses that I'm giving you and we have gone through. And you notice now at length, now at length. That's the idea of it coming up here. So, Adam, now at length, now after all this time, bone of my bones and flesh, not before. All this other stuff happened. A lot of time's gone by. Now, at last, is bone of my bones. Fits better with the sixth day being a longer time. Okay, so that's all I wanted to say there. Now, the next thing, which we haven't finished with. These issues are huge. They're not small. They impinge on your understanding of Genesis. So I looked at this word, which is rakia, firmament, rakia. Sounds like a cool name. Sounds like some Klingon name, you know. Rakia. So it means the firmament. And here are the places where you find this word used in the Bible. We won't go through them all, but they are certainly there. And it really is something which comes from a verb to do with beating something out. Which means that it has more to do with a substance. You beat something out. That means it's got the idea of having substance. Now you'd say, but that's completely rubbish. When you have the open expanse, that's a vacuum. Space is a vacuum. Yeah, okay, I'll give you that. It's a vacuum. But did you know that as far as our physics understanding of space, that it is something. That it is something. And it's quite interesting to me that the Bible confirms that it is something. In other words, if you look at the cosmology of our present, the present understanding of how the cosmos came about, the present understanding is that out of nothing, time and space and matter came into being. Time and space came into being. That means it's something, right? Time and space came into being. That means space is something. So even physics today, our present understanding of physics, declares that, yes, space is something. Okay, that's the first thing I want you to see here. And it says in chapter 1, verse 6, "And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters." So the firmament goes between the waters. There's waters above the firmament. That's the first bit of information here about the firmament. Now, in the book of Job, if you look at its structure, it's a wonderful structure. Because it's basically this introversion. If you look here, and actually, I will now use my pointer. If you actually look here, right in the middle, chapter 32 to 37, you have the ministry of Elihu, the mediator. And that's the one who speaks in the place of God. And that, we know that's going to draw our attention, because we know about the media, for there's one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. So Job is really getting our attention here with Elihu. And then immediately after that, what you have in chapter 38, verse 1, is Job and Jehovah. Jehovah now speaking. Let's have a look at that. Let me just show you something, because it's going to be kind of relevant to our study. So this is Job and then Psalm. So Job, and we'll go to 38. Job 38, verse 1. Okay, here it is. And then it says this in verse 1. "Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge?" So here you have God speaking. "Gird up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee, and answer thou me. Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding." Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? This is a very favorite passage with the young earth creationists. When people say, well, all this stuff happened many millions of years ago, then you say, well, where were you when it happened? Were you there? That's a very common refrain, right? Now, we weren't there, but we do have some Bible about how the earth came into being. We've got some information, so we need to check that out. And so God goes through this discussion with Job, and there is the warning of, you know, not having sufficient knowledge. Now, coming across here, this is the passage I want you to see. So you're in Job, and now just go back to chapter 37. This is Elihu, the one who is speaking on God's stead. Okay, this is very cool. So Job 37 and verse number 18, it says this: "Hast thou with him spread out the sky, which is strong, and as a molten looking glass?" Now notice these words. Up here I've got the Hebrew here for it. And "hast thou with him spread out the sky?" Now you can see and hear, and I'll do a bit of pointing, you can see some of the consonants that go into this word rakia, which is this word which is for firmament, spreading out. Hast thou with him spread out the sky? And when it says sky, it's this interesting word here which relates to the actual heavens. So what am I getting at here? I'm getting at the idea that this rakia, this firmament, is something that has been hammered out, as it were, as a metaphor, spread out like that. And the interesting thing here is that in the same context where we get some further information about this firmament, we get something about the heavens and as a molting looking glass. As a molten looking glass. It means a mirror. And this is the point that I'm coming to. When you find that God places into the firmament these lights, I do not believe that this is ex nihilo. This is not a creation out of nothing. This is a positioning of what he had already made in the beginning. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And what he does now is he's allowing the light from those heavens to come forward. Let there be light, and there was light. Where from? Well, that light is coming from that original creation that he made. When he talks about putting stars around, he created the stars also. Of course, created them where? Did he create them ex nihilo? I'm suggesting that what he's doing is he's placing them there from his original creation in this hammered out, spread out thing that's called the firmament. You say that's just space. Yeah, we know it's just space. But we know now from the Bible, first of all, that it's got substance. There's something to it. There's something to space. Right? And you might say, well, what's that? We don't understand it all. We don't understand everything, but we do know, at least if you're an informed physicist, you're going to say, yeah, it is something. It came into being, and therefore, it is something. All right? Okay, so that's cool. I think there's some cool stuff in here. Now, here's the next thing. The firmament is also called the heavens. Look at this. This is Genesis 1, verse 8. And God called the firmament heaven. Okay? He called it heaven. Shamayim. Here it is. Okay, so he called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. Cool. Then you just have to live with this complexity that the firmament is also called the heaven. Now, if you go through and you look for all these places where you can find the word firmament and heaven together, here they are. Now, let me see if I can show you this. So here we have my software, right? And up the top here, I've got a really cool thing that I can do. So I'm interested in finding all of the places within the Hebrew text, not the English. No. I just want to find out in the Hebrew text where I can find this rakia and this shamayim, the heavens. Now notice up the top here, I've got this search, right? And this search is really cool because it allows me to put in a morphological search, meaning I can search through all the different types of words, nouns, verbs, anything. So here we have this Westminster. See down here, you might be able to see it's got W, T, and M. W, T, WTM. That's the Westminster text, which is morphologically tagged. So it's got all the morphology of all the words. So what I can do is I can look for all the words according to their morphology, whether they be a noun, whether they be a verb. What part of the sentence? What job are they doing in the sentences? So what I'm doing is I'm saying, okay, I want all forms of this firmament, because I've got at star, so it'll take all the forms, and similarly with the heavens, at star. And so if I put that in there and I run it, I get all of the places. I find all places in the Bible where I can get the firmament occurring and also heavens. Okay, and here's the list of them here. I've got them all written there. And I put them also in this slide. Right, so here they are. Now that's cool. Look what we've just read Genesis 1:8, but look at verse 14. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. So one of the things about this business of lights is that they were placed in there as a means of signs. That's what it says. And what is a sign? Can you tell me what a sign is? Well, I can tell you what a sign is. I need it all the time here in Oklahoma, man, because I get terribly lost sometimes. Signs are really good because they point me in a certain direction. So a sign, and like, for example, if you said, well, I want to go to Corpus Christi, man. I want to go to Corpus Christi. And you come across on the road, you see a sign, Corpus Christi. Okay, now let's do something totally inappropriate. Okay, the sign is Corpus Christi, so right, let's park our car right here and let's enjoy Corpus Christi. No, that's not going to work. Why? Because the sign is pointing you to where the reality is, right? That's where the reality is. So these things which are placed in here for signs, we've got to find out about this. Now, there are a number of people in history who have really worked on this. Ethelbert Bullinger is one of them. But there are others as well who have worked on looking at these signs that were placed in there. And because of what I now have come to understand about how God took his original creation and then placed these stars in the firmament, that means God did it. Do you see the point I'm making? You could say, well, okay, God created the heavens, all right? And there are all these stars out there. Whoosh! That's one thing. That could be sort of like some random thing that God did. But wait a minute. In our understanding now of Genesis 1, that's not what happened. What happened was the firmament now was populated deliberately by God. He placed these things in the firmament for, at least in part, signs. He put the signs in there. Well, it says signs and seasons, days and years. Let's look at the next one, verse 15. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth, and it was so. Okay? That's what it did. It does not deny the very first time that light and day appeared. It doesn't deny that. It simply particularizes it and makes it far more clear. The fact that there was day and night would tend to indicate some sort of circular motion of the earth that had been created before day one. There'd already been some sort of circulation, movement, rotation of the earth. Right, to give the day and the night. Where did the day come from? Let me tell you some of the answers that you're going to come across, right? And I've had them. And I didn't have a better answer than what others have told me. And I do now. I believe, the truth about this. Now, here's one of the answers that have been given about the fact that we had light before sun and moon. Well, the answer was, light means God's Shekinah glory. So on the first day when there was day and night, that and light was created, well, that was God's Shekinah glory coming forth. Well, now I've got one question for you. What's the night? Looks like God's Shekinah glory is turned off. It's a bit weird, don't you think? He turned off his Shekinah glory. I think you've got some real problems. And while you can come up with supposed solutions, what I'm telling you now, at least from my perspective, is much more belief in the Scriptures. It's much more centered on what is written and just believing it. And that's what we all want, right? That's what we need. So look at the verse 17. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And verse 20, and God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creatures that hath life and fowl that may fly above the earth and the open. Look at this. Verse 20 is very important. In the open firmament of heaven. The open firmament. Ah, okay. So therefore, that part of that space that God created is called the open firmament. That must be the part of the firmament which is closest to the earth. That's where the birds fly. The open firmament. So now what do we have? Well, we have the earth. It's rotating. We have the open firmament. We have, this is diagrammatic. This is just diagrammatic. Then we have the firmament, and then we have the heavens as they existed originally, and then in this firmament, God placed the stars. He placed them deliberately, not randomly. They're for signs and for seasons, days, months, years. Cool. Now look at Psalm 19:1. This is taking us out of Genesis. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Works perfectly with what I'm telling you. His handiwork. He takes from the original creation and he populates the firmament with these things. Okay, right. Well, we've got more to go, but I've used up our time. Next time, we've got to take this one step further. There's more here. Okay, I want to take it a little bit further. And because this gets kind of complicated, it'd be good to have a summary, a slide that shows you the summary of the things that we have got, and maybe a comparison with perhaps what the young earth creationists teach. Compare the two and see what makes sense, right? And by the way, I'm not all about saying, I got all the answers, because I don't. I don't have all the answers, but I think what I'm presenting here is very much more sensible and much more in tune with the Scriptures. Let us pray. Our God and Father, we thank Thee for today, Lord, for the tremendous truths in the Bible, for the gift of salvation, for the creative act of God, and the fact that God's creation is continuing and that He is upholding all things with the power of His hands, Lord. And look, He's sustaining all things. And we thank Thee for this in Christ's name. Amen.
His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.